ago, this COVID thing started. Remember that? About 2 years ago? I've been healthy as could be through all of it, and now I feel this coming on. And I thought this afternoon, I haven't done my cayenne for about 3 weeks, so quarter teaspoon cayenne, as soon as I get home. I don't know if I have the courage for a quarter teaspoon of habanero. I did an eighth, and that... We got a young fella at Rensselaer, he did a teaspoon of habanero. I thought, whoa, that would set a person off. I mean, an eighth of a teaspoon, I was sweating like crazy. I sweated it 30 minutes later more than I do playing three games of basketball. So. What's that? He might, yeah. So we'll try to go through this. 1 Peter 3. One of the folks this morning that was here after the message verified that she was almost a victim of this Illuminati Catholic mess, a part of the Kinsey Report. Remember hearing the Kinsey Report? Sometimes media would talk about the Kinsey Report. Bad news. And it goes back into the 1950s with Indiana University. Really bad news. And so, yeah. Okay, 1 Peter 3, new territory. I'm going through second puberty. I'm going to be able to sing bass here. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words, and I pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words and help each and every one of us to, when we live through life, that we analyze our role in life or in that situation. And to be the best that you'd want us to be in that situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, he's dealing with a hierarchy. He started it back in chapter 2, verse 18. From 2:18 down to the end of the chapter, it could be easily applied in the business community. And then in chapter 3, verse 1... first six verses, he addresses the wife in a family setting, and the guy gets away with only one verse in verse 7. Now, his is pretty powerful. Okay, now the setting, I've heard this taught that if a wife obeys this, that it will lead her husband to the Lord. Okay, and they almost teach it like it's going to happen no matter what. But that's not even the context. Abraham and Sarah would be righteous people. And the idea is it would help, she could help influence him to live more righteously. I remember a lady down at the Bible church when I was a teenager. They talked about marriage, and she said, well, I married a lost husband, and look what happened. He got saved. Okay, that's good, that's good. But then I also hear later they got divorced. So our personal experiences should not be used to justify our actions in life. So verse 1, this is addressed to the wives. Okay, likewise, ye wives. And of course, that means one per man. Okay, and so likewise, ye wives, be subject to your own husbands. So this reveals a hierarchy. And in the Bible, it usually addresses the one in the lower part of the hierarchy to subject themselves to the hierarchy. So God first, Christ second, according to 2 Corinthians 11, the man the woman, and then, of course, the kids. So God the Father didn't beat down his son in order for him to subject himself to God. The Lord Jesus Christ volunteered to do that. Okay, and so today, the Spirit of God, remember what it says in John 16, that he glorifies who? The Spirit of God glorifies the Son. Remember? The Spirit of God glorifies the Son, and the Son glorifies the Father. Okay, now the charismatic movement, their Spirit of God glorifies the gifts. And so that's a counterfeit. So the Lord has the hierarchy, and then God is going to return it down where he's going to glorify his Son for submitting to the hierarchy. So we have the same thing. You got it in sports, you've got it in churches, you've got it in schools, you've got it in family. Okay, and for example, a child that lives at home, okay, and yet they're an adult, because they live at home, they should honor their parents' wishes, even though they may have different beliefs in some way, because they're under their roof. That's a right thing to do. In Costa Rica, Brent said that they stay home, live at home until late 30s, if that, until they get married. And one pastor asked for prayer because his son was rebelling and he was moving out and he was like 35. And from us, we're about like said, about time. You know, but that's how they feel about it. Okay, and so here it says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. So this is not salvation. If any obey not the word, they also, notice, may. It doesn't make it automatic. Just because we obey Bible and just because we can deliver the gospel message in the most powerful yet loving fashion, that doesn't mean that person's going to accept it. They have to choose. Okay, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Okay, it could be verbal and it could be their life pattern. Conversation goes both ways. And then it says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Okay, the husbands, okay, behold your chaste conversation. But we're living in a day and age where people despise those that are good. They despise that. And what if a husband is that way? So, they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, obviously not fear of them, but the fears of God. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair or of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel. Now, this is a famous verse of the holiness movement where they don't believe a lady should ever cut her hair. Because, you know, it's talking about here. And then they'll wrap it around, you know, and keep going up to almost where you could put a bird nest up there. Okay, and then they talk about the outward apparel. Now, you could see how it's written. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plating of the hair. It's drawing attention to their body. It's like a Christmas tree. The ornaments. It's like the 15 earrings on their ears and, you know, two or three in their nose and then in their lip, you know, and then the gold chains, you know, 10 or 15 gold chains and all that. This is apparel that draws attention to the body. So he's encouraging it. And then he says, and of the wearing of gold. So this is not a prohibition against jewelry. It's not that at all. Because it does say putting on apparel. So if that is saying you can't wear gold or jewelry, then it's also saying you can't wear clothes, putting on of apparel. So here we go, Ponderosa Sun Club. You know, and so the idea is you can see that as the spirit of it, it's and there is a standard of convictions that the Bible teaches, and so we desperately need. And I also find it interesting that in Matthew 5:28, where it says that if a man lusts after a woman, he's committed adultery with her in his heart. So if she's not dressing appropriately, then does she have part of that offense? And so one needs to consider that. So then verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. So here's a passage where in a woman, a born-again woman, is a man. And the man is Christ Jesus. Now, obviously, we know there are many differences between the genders. But the one basic difference is the womb. Okay, and that's why it's called woman. And that's the aspect. Now, we also know the emotional makeup is different. We know that men are more interested in things or work, where women are more interested in people, children in particular. And God has built that in us to complement each other. And so that's necessary. Okay, but here the hidden man of the heart. So sometimes in the Bible, the word man is limited to the male figure, but often it can be mankind. In this context, he's talking to women and he says that you have a hidden man in your heart. Of course, the man is Christ Jesus. In that which is not corruptible. Amen on that. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Okay, meekness is an attitude. And a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price. Okay, so that's the strength. That's the strength in a woman, is that meek and quiet spirit. So then he says, but after this manner, in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. So that was the ornament that they displayed in subjection. Now, in America, our culture hates this kind of stuff. Just hates it. In the Oriental culture, they submit to it. And if they don't, he might beat her to submit to it. In the Muslim culture. So, and remember that the Bible is an Oriental book. So he's laying a hierarchy. Then he gives an example in verse 6 of Sarah. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, if a guy, so I believe biblical, so I'm going to make my wife do that. You know, you need your head examined. Okay, obviously, that's a respect, but Sarah, now, it's a study of Sarah and Abraham, and none of us are going to figure it out. You know, if Sarah obeyed totally, which she was doing in the matter of Abimelech, if God had not intervened, where would have Sarah landed? She would have been one of the many of Abimelech. And now, the Bible doesn't say anything about a conversation they had, but I'm quite certain somewhere along the line, she might have said something to Abraham. I mean, come on, you was going to give me out to this guy. You know, I got a problem with that. You know, I'm certain somewhere in there. Now, on one occasion, the Lord told Abraham he did wrong by listening to his wife, hearkening unto her. Then another time he said, you did wrong by not hearkening unto his wife. And so the idea is what we do is we consider those words. God intervened for Sarah. And you can see how Sarah spelled in the New Testament versus the Old Testament. No problem, it's the same word. Abraham spelled the same. And then notice in that phrase after the semicolon, whose daughters ye are. That is a hint at the doctrinal aim of this letter. Remember, Peter, James, and John made an agreement with Paul and Barnabas in Galatians 2 that Paul and Barnabas would go to the Gentiles and Peter, James, and John would go to the circumcision. And that's an extension of the Lord's ministry because he told the apostles, don't go to the Gentiles, go to the house, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that's an extension of that. So this is why James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and even Revelation, and of course Jude, all have a Jewish slant to it, a doctrinal slant. Generally speaking, it's talking to Jewish people. And this is a perfect example. Whose daughters ye are. My lineage doesn't go back to Sarah. Okay, now, a person say, well, I'm a spiritual son of Jesus Christ. Okay, no problem. But that still doesn't mean that I am in line to partake of the inheritance of Abraham. You know, the land grant and the restoration of Israel. Okay, we get the Holy Ghost by faith. That was a gift that was given to Abraham, but that's a spiritual gift. So in that those little things like that in the Bible, whose daughters ye are, and then he makes another kind of a strange statement, as long as ye do well. What does that mean? You mean, if you don't do well, then you forfeit that being a daughter of Sarah? Yeah, I think so. As part of the inheritance. Dan and I have been emailing a little bit about what's going on over there. And he said that he's had some people get upset with him because he reveals that in Ukraine, there are Nazis who claim they're Jews. Now, is that not an oxymoron? And of course, I got the same reports. Okay, and the idea, I emailed back to him and said that there are many kinds of Jews in Israel today. You have fake Jews. Revelation 2:9, 3:9 both say, there's some that say they're Jews or not. Now, those could be called Khazars or Ashkenazis. So actually Jewish people, no, they're actually Gentile people, and they're coming out of the birth of this location was Ukraine and what's a little bit south of Ukraine in that area. And this developed hundreds of years ago, and it was infiltrated in a communist Bolshevik party. And this was instrumental in Hitler's day, where the fake Jews are the ones running the banking cartel and the movie industry and the media companies. Okay, those are the fake Jews. They are the ones that was instrumental in the state flag of Israel with the pentagrams or with the pyramids. That's not true Israel. That's the fig tree, fake Israel. True Israel is a vine tree. And I would think that the appropriate symbol on a flag for true Israel would be a menorah. To me, that would be the most appropriate. And so I showed Dan, and he sees that. There's a fake Jews, and that would be those Jews Nazis in Ukraine. Now, in Israel, you have the fake Jews. You've got natural-born Jews that are sincerely following Judaism to the best of their ability without a temple, following the Talmud, which we know is wrong, but at least they're following that. And then the vast majority of Jewish people, natural Jewish people throughout the world, are secularists. They're atheists. The vast majority of them are. And you'll see these Ashkenazi Jews in almost all presidential administrations. All of them. Okay, including Trump. So I think we need to distinguish the differences here. The confusion in the church today is because of the counterfeits, counterfeit Bible. And the confusion with the support of Israel is the counterfeit Jews. And so who's going to inherit the Abrahamic promises? The natural born Jews who believe in the Messiah and fear God and try to endure to the end of the tribulation. They're going to be the ones who inherit the salvation of Israel as mentioned in Hebrews 1:14. All the rest, apostate Jews and fake Jews, are going to get the punishment just like the uncircumcision. They're going to be thrown into hell. And it's going to be very, very few Jewish people that will survive the tribulation to inherit those promises. So I would dare say in that phrase, whose daughters ye are, comma, as long as you do well. Because it is under a tribulation doctrine. And are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands. Okay, likewise, ye husbands. Dwell with them according to knowledge. So that's where men, we need to recognize our differences. Okay, we need to recognize our differences with women. And then he says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, the media is going to try to find some woman who has buffed her arms out and weightlift and can beat up a man and say, see, we're all the same. But if you get 100 men in a room and 100 women in a room, if there's a knockdown, drag-out fight, if a man loses, he ought to be shot. You know? Okay? But, you know, the general rule is obviously men are stronger. And this is coming to the forefront where these guys are pretending to be girls and winning these swim meets and track meets and wrestling matches. I mean, how insane is that? This transgender stuff is absolutely insane. That's why it's an infestation of spirits and it goes against nature. It makes no sense. Man, a country boy raised on a farm, you know, if you would have taken me when I was, you know, a country kid, you know, in 1970, you know, oh, whatever age I was, about 13, 14, and would have put me into the future to see young people today with all the colored hair, I know exactly what I would have done. What is that? And then they would look at you and say, what are you looking at? Well, I'm looking at you. I've never seen anything like that before. I mean, that is so against nature. And then you see this, you know, this gal like a butch. What are you? Are you serious? Something. What have you been smoking? That's why it's an infestation of spirits. Spirits are not logical. And this whole movement is just insane. Of course, like I said this morning, that's how you entangle the world. The Antichrist, it will say about him that he will, it says he will not consider a woman. Now, I don't know what that means totally. I don't know. Maybe he's going to be like Zelensky, who's a real perv, but yet he has a marriage, makes it look like he's a husband and wife and kid. But this guy's a real perv. And of course, you can tell by the friends who adores him as Hollywood. So that ought to be enough clue on this clown. So he says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and then as being heirs together of the grace of life. Okay, heirs together. Let's try a couple of those cross-references. In Numbers 31:27, when a husband and wife serve the Lord together, or seek after the Lord together at the judgment seat of Christ, as both will get their specific awards, rewards, they will split the awards between themselves. Numbers 31, verse 27. Okay, this one says, and divide the prey into two parts between them that took the war upon them. So took the war upon them. That'd be the soldier of the cross who went out to battle, and between all the congregation. Okay, so in the sports world, that would be like the owner gets the trophy, but yet the players also get rings and awards. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel 30. This is the story when David was running from Saul. And he brought his men and his mighty army into Ziklag. And then he went out to fight for the heathen. And while he was out there, the Amalekites came and kidnapped all their families in Ziklag. And when the men came back, obviously they were heartbroken, burned, everything. And they were going after David on that one. And that would have been a toughie. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Yeah, that would be bothersome. Okay, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he asked God what to do. And the Lord told him through the Urim and Thummim, go get him. So of the men, two-thirds of they took off, and one-third of them had spent all their energy. They couldn't go any further. And so they left one-third to abide by the stuff, and the two-thirds went and then rescued their families. And went on when they come back, the two-thirds felt that because they went to the battle, the one-third should not get their awards. And David said in 1 Samuel 30, verse 24, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, and they shall part alike. So that's the principle the Lord lays out, where both parties will split the spoils together. Now, I remember reading years ago, John Wesley, he was a Methodist and part of the holiness group and all that stuff. And I remember reading about how his wife just caused him headaches, and he would write sermons and she would tear it up, and I mean just a mess. And I thought, wow, what a thing he had to deal with that. But then I also read that he was giving devotions to young women like early in the morning. It's about like no wonder she was bothered. Not justifying it, but it was just kind of an odd situation. Okay, but still the pattern of God is that a married couple that serves the Lord together, tries to walk together with the Lord, the parties split awards at the judgment seat. And so that's the idea here in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. And then a warning is put to that man, that your prayers be not hindered. That's a heavy warning. Okay, that your prayers be not hindered there. And so the Lord gets involved with that. But of course, we know that if one party is living right, that doesn't mean the other party will live right. And so can you imagine what Hosea went through? I mean, especially from the start when God told him who he's supposed to marry. And then he knew what was going to happen. Man, would that be something? Okay, now Solomon never experienced a divorce. He just kept adding them. Now, what a mess with that would be. Then in verse 8, he gives finally. Okay, after all this hierarchy, he says, finally, be ye all of one mind. Now, you can't force that. That has to be a voluntary choice with everybody. To be of one mind, one final authority. Having compassion, one of another. Love as brethren. But I've seen some brethren not love their brothers. Be pitiful. I like that one passage in Psalms where it says, the Lord remembers that we're dust and he pities us. Boy, that's encouragement. The Lord remembers that. Be courteous. A lot of Bible believers don't like that one. Be courteous. You can be polite to people. You know, and all that stuff. This is our personal relationships with people. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. Okay, there's a verbal blessing that we can say to people. We sometimes say, the Lord bless you. Somebody sneezes, the Lord bless you. Okay, now we just think we say that off the cuff, but I don't think we really know what is actually taking place when we verbalize words. That Japanese doctor, and I've mentioned him to before, about saying words to water and then he's able to freeze the water instantly and then it sees the crystals. It's amazing what it does. Words expressed. When we express words of blessing to others, what comes back on a person, verse 9, is knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So when we give forth a blessing to someone, a blessing comes back. Okay, and I know the charismatics talk about name it and claim it and all that garbage, but there is something to it, especially parents to our children and grandparents to your grandchildren. We can be encouragement to them by our words. And they need it. The pressure that is put on young people in this day is unbelievable. I mean, walking around with a cell phone in your hand is dangerous. Okay, but it's pressure that, it's this generation coming up. I just can't imagine what they got to deal with. And that's why, you got to be on your knees, especially grandparents. We pray for our grandkids, and they need that because of the pressure that's put on them. So he says, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So politeness to people, courteous to people. And then he says, for he that will love life, appreciate it, gratitude. This is lost information today. People are entitled to everything now. They have no gratitude. And they don't love life. Okay? And the Lord wants us to. And to see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. So what we say with our mouths, with our tongue, okay? And Job brings this up in Job 26, that what accompanies our words, as I'm speaking spirit, a spirit comes out, the spirit of the Holy Ghost comes out, my spirit comes out, and an unclean spirit could come out. Now, these spirits can't force these words on us, but they can influence them, which they do. And then that party decides of their will what to do with it. So he says, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, no guile, no trickery. The Christian ministry today is loaded with guile. Christian television is infested with guile. Okay, and it's just lies what they're doing. And then verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Peace amongst each other. Do the best you can to live peaceably with all men. But some people won't allow that. But we got to do what we can. So, okay, we'll stop there. Verse 11, verse 12 gets into the righteous. And we're going to stop there. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to learn some things from your words. And I pray that you'd help us to use our words to be encouragement and blessings to others. And I just pray that you'd bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen.